Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Don't we all struggle with that our whole life? We think that God is distant.
Dana Grish on Focus on the Family Minute, offering insights about helping your children know God is with them, no matter what.
I've described that feeling of separation, which is very theological and biblical and real. Sin separates us from God, like bad Wi-Fi. It's not that the signal's not out there. I just can't reach the love of God. I can't feel the love of God. I can't hear the voice of God. So I think it's really important that we're attentive to our kids and loving them when they sin. The Word of God says that God loved us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't have to put it that way in the Word, but He did because He knew we were going to lose that connection.
More insights from Dana Grish when you visit FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Junior, you know why my TV is turned down so low? Last week, I went down to see Peter Lucier, Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast. He's a nice young feller who tested my hearing. He had me try on these nearly invisible hearing aids. See? They ain't got no buttons or nothing. By gum, I hear like I'm 29 years old. Call Peter at Hearing Aid Specialists. Dial 805-460-7385. Or use your smartphone and go to slowcountyhearingaids.com.
Have you felt that instant panic when your car breaks down? You deserve to be treated like a guest, not a problem. At Shiftin' Gears Auto Repair, they're shiftin' expectations with hospitality-geared auto service. Transparent updates, honest answers. They have your back from the moment you call, and they are always ready to serve you. Next. Finally, auto repair that puts you first.
Mid-State Precious Metals is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Atascadero, across from the movie theater. If you're looking for an appraisal or quote on your gold or silver, go see Ron at Mid-State Precious Metals for a free quote. With gold and silver at an all-time high, this is the time. They are one of the highest-paying bullion dealers on the West Coast, and they can walk you through the steps to buy and sell with no commitment. Check them out at MidStatePreciousMetals.com or stop by anytime in Atascadero, Tuesday through Friday.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California with Susanna Luthi on AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM. Phone lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. California Free Talk is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. And now, Free Talk California on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi. I'm still on the holy high from my baby daughter's baptism on Friday. It was absolutely beautiful over here in St. Rose and just had a beautiful weekend. So hope everyone also experienced beauty and joy this weekend. Today's guest is Meg Madden. She is from CAUSE, Californians United for Sex-Based Evidence in Policy and Law. We will be talking about, guess what? Bad bills in the legislature that do not base themselves on sex-based evidence, but instead on gender woo-woo. So we'll be talking about those. Yes, California is still super woke. Woke is not dead. And no matter what Trump does, we are stuck with the woke. So she'll be talking about how you can get involved. We are down to the wire on these bad bills as they are poised to become law. And every voice is needed. Before she comes on, I have a few big items to review. This was a big day in the Supreme Court. I used to be a court reporter in healthcare focused courts reporter in Washington, D.C. So sometimes I just love to browse the Supreme Court docket. And there were some big cases that dropped today, big decisions. And some of them really affect California. So starting with the big disappointment, I was actually surprised by this. I don't think many people thought it was going to go this way. But basically, California's insane post-election day ballot counting can continue under a decision authored by conservative Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett, who was joined by John Roberts, the Chief Justice, along with all the liberal justices, to say that federal law does not prevent states from dragging Election Day out. The case was actually centered on Mississippi's practices, but for all intents and purposes, it does directly funnel down to us in California because it allows this practice to continue. Instead of giving my own opinion on this matter, I am just going to quote the ever quotable Justice Samuel Alito's dissent when he says, "It is undeniable that a prohibition on counting late arriving ballots would provide an additional hurdle for bad actors seeking to stuff ballot boxes when early election results suggest a tight race. The majority incorrectly removes the safeguard from federal law." Yep, that's what I concur, Justice Alito, I concur. Not surprisingly, California Republicans are not happy. Steve Hilton, who is the GOP nominee for governor after this month's primary election, called the decision an insult, and he is optimistically saying it will energize conservatives. I don't know. We conservatives do not pull our weight and do not beat the system because we tend to look at policies like the late ballot counting and say, oh, it's all rigged, might as well not vote. When in fact, voter turnout is so low that we could easily win in a lot of these elections. But anyway, enough on that. I will say, you know, now that the final count is out, yes, I do think some shady stuff happened with Spencer Pratt's elections, but they couldn't have happened, I do not believe, if all the Republicans registered in LA had actually voted in that. So anyway. So Steve Hilton says, "This ruling is an insult to every California voter and an affront to democracy." He told this to the California Post. "I know this ruling will fire up everyone who is sick of what's going on in California. Thanks to this ridiculous anti-democratic ruling, I am more sure than ever that change is coming." I think that's a bit optimistic, but, you know, politicians got to spin. Anyway, I also noticed on the SCOTUS docket this morning, a lesser notice case, but it caught my eye because the plaintiff is one of my least favorite California NGO scammers. This group is called Al Otro Lado. I think I've talked about them on the show. I've definitely reported on them for the Washington Free Beacon. And I first ran into them when I went to the Mexico border under the Biden regime. Al Otro Lado, for those of you who weren't listening to whatever particular show I discussed it on, is a largely taxpayer-funded organization. They started out with like $500 in 2016 and then mysteriously started receiving millions from California taxpayers as well as federal taxpayers. And basically they want all the immigration all the time, unsustainable. Anyone can come in. We have to help them and pay them to come in and take taxpayer money and create an unsustainable society. Very Marxist, of course, because it seems that that is kind of the driving force of these insane policies to basically crash the system. And under Biden, this group was suing his administration because Biden's very lax immigration policies were simply not lax enough. One of their amazing lawsuits at the time said that the Border Patrol app that was in place at the time because they wanted to make it easier to process so-called asylum claims. Well, they sued over that app, saying it was too glitchy and, quote, difficult to use or inaccessible to certain asylum seekers with disabilities and, quote, often has difficulty recognizing darker features and complexions. Well, this latest case of theirs that had to go to SCOTUS was equally insane, maybe even more so. Al Otro claimed that anyone stuck in Mexico trying to get into the U.S. was actually technically already in the U.S. and therefore had the right to have their case assessed and processed by Border Patrol agents and U.S. officials in order to stay in the U.S. And yes, it did have to go to SCOTUS because the lower court sided with Al Otro Lado and said, yes, they're technically in the United States, even though they're in Mexico. Anyway, in this case, the majority did side against Al Otro Lado. And here is Alito again, Justice Alito again. He said, this case presents a straightforward question whether an alien who seeks to enter the United States from Mexico arrives in the United States when he or she is still in Mexico. In the decision below, the United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit answered, yes, that is wrong. In ordinary speech, no one would say that a person arrives in a place, for example, a house, a city, or a country, before the person enters that place. So, anyway, that common sense one in that case. And then a few other good cases that I will mention is that the Supreme Court did side with President Trump in saying, yes, he can fire bureaucrats who supposedly answer to him. But I don't know if you remember his first administration, and certainly in this administration, anytime he tries to downsize our really out of control agencies, which are allowed to just continue to grow and metastasize, he's always stopped by some judge or other. So SCOTUS had to weigh in and they said, yes, Trump can indeed fire workers that are supposed to answer to him. And in another victory, SCOTUS said that he can also end temporary resident status of Haitians and Syrians who have been here for a long time under supposedly temporary conditions, but they have just stayed and not pursued citizenship, and everyone just thinks it's going to be fine. Really, really swamped a lot of towns, housing markets, etc. So anyway, the Supreme Court said that Trump can start deporting them. All right, so that's just a quick update on the SCOTUS docket. There are a few other cases that we're still waiting for. This is very, very late for them not to have decided. But I should have probably checked this before I went on the air, but I don't think they're decided. The boys and girls sports case, and then also birthright citizenship. So those are cases that have yet to be decided for the year. All right, so back to California. So this made me absolutely mad, boiling my blood. Everyone should be calling Governor Newsom's office about this. Not that he will care, but his staff should be fielding angry calls. So one of the bright spots of the June 2nd primary election day was that Sonia Shaw, our mama bear hero, love her, really want her to be in charge of the state public schools and helping all of us parents navigate the madness and beat the madness. Well, she overwhelmingly won the biggest vote block statewide. It was so clear. And it was clear right afterwards that she's probably going to win, or she could easily win, barring a big disappointing turnout from anyone with common sense, that she should be able to win the state superintendent's race. Well, late last week, and Newsom has definitely teased this in the past, Newsom struck a bargain to basically eliminate the office. Not technically but, or not literally, but technically, would that be the phrase? So anyway, here's the story from EdSource. The next state superintendent of public instruction won't be managing the California Department of Education anymore. So in other words, the office that the constitutional office that voters would vote for, the voters would appoint the leader, where voters are supposed to appoint the leader, would basically be without any ability to do her job or his job. According to this story, the department's control will shift in January to a new director of education who will report to the governor. This was under a deal announced Friday as part of budget negotiations between legislative leaders and Governor Gavin Newsom. The legislature is expected to approve the plan as part of its state budget package of bills either today or tomorrow. And all the details are in a new bill, Assembly Bill 181, that combines Newsom's plan and legislation proposed by two San Diego Democratic legislators. So anyway, it looks like Sonia Shaw might win, the voters might flip this seat, and he basically eliminates the office. So this is really, really frustrating. Not sure what can be done now because these bills are all being voted on, but express your disapproval to Don Addis and John Laird. They're our local legislators. John Laird's number is 916-651-4017. Don Addis's Sacramento number is 916-319-2030. Or just Google them. That was it's just absolutely maddening. This guy has no concept of accountability to anyone, and it just drives me crazy that so many of us just say, oh, well, what are we going to do? This is insane. This is insane. Okay, so let's cool down a little bit with some good news. And then we're going to go into a lot more bad news when Meg Madden comes on the line after the ad break. But this news actually shocked me, and I don't completely trust it, but I trust the folks at Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. We've had Susan Shelley on the show, and maybe I'll have her come back to tell us what exactly happened. So if you remember back a couple of years now, Newsom and the legislature teamed up to cheat us out of a ballot initiative that had overwhelmingly qualified, that would have made it very hard to raise local taxes. And I believe it would have retroactively defeated or overturned local taxes that had been passed with a simple majority vote. Anyway, so the tax or the initiative would have made it mandatory for any tax proposed locally to have a two-thirds majority before passing any tax, any fee. So Newsom and the state legislative leaders did not like this. Obviously, they just want to spend our money all the time, everywhere. They went straight to the state Supreme Court, demanded an intervention. The state Supreme Court is stacked with judges appointed by Newsom and former Governor Jerry Brown, Democrats. I think there was one Schwarzenegger judge on there, but anyway, court stacked against us, and the court sided with the government, of course, and blocked a qualified ballot from making it to the ballot initiative for making it to the ballot. So anyway, the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, as Susan Shelley told us a few weeks ago, we're working on a Save Prop 13 initiative, you know, very similar, but without the retroactive point and basically aligning it with the court decision. And it qualified. And the governor wanted to negotiate it off the ballot. There were lots of meetings. John Kupel, who is the head of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, at one point last week said negotiations are off. Anyway, then suddenly there was news. There's a press release that said the legislature agreed to actually put it on the ballot themselves, which gives it much more likelihood of passing in November. So anyway, let's look at the announcement from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. So there's a late breaking deal approving the core of the ballot initiative, which is called the Local Taxpayer Protection Act to save Proposition 13, the constitutional requirement that all local special taxes must have the approval of 2/3 of voters in order to pass. In addition, the legislature has reversed its vote from 2023 and removed a poison pill constitutional amendment, ACA 13, from the November ballot. The ACA 13 would have required the Local Taxpayer Protection Act to meet an unusually high vote threshold to pass, potentially making it far more difficult to enact taxpayer protections through the initiative process permanently. John Kupel says in a statement, "It's a tremendous turnaround. In 2024, the California legislature sought to make it easier to raise taxes with Proposition 5, which the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association defeated at the ballot. Today, the legislature voted to make it harder to raise taxes by advancing a constitutional amendment called ACA 22 to close a loophole that had allowed some special taxes to pass with less than 2/3 of the vote required by Proposition 13. So, with the legislature's strong endorsement of the 2/3 vote requirement to pass all special taxes and the removal of poison pill ACA 13 from the November ballot, the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association has agreed to withdraw its original initiative from the ballot, and instead, voters will have the opportunity to pass the Local Taxpayer Protection Act as ACA 22, soon to have a proposition number for November. So rare good news. We'll take them. We'll take all the good news we can get. All right, don't go anywhere. We will be right back with Meg Madden from Cause talking about what the heck is going on in Sacramento when we're not looking. All right, don't go anywhere. You're listening to Free Talk California.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. The Supreme Court rules President Trump cannot fire Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook, at least not for now.
The majority writes in this opinion, as the government concedes, Congress limited the president's power to remove governors for good reason. They say it's to preserve the independence of the Fed and to continue the long tradition of monetary policy exercised independent of executive influence.
Fox's Sharon Bream there. A new trial date has been set for the man facing federal charges for the murder of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
Opening statements have been set for January 25th in Luigi Mangione's federal trial. Judge Margaret Garnett said she had hoped to hold the trial this fall, but Mangione's New York State trial, set to start on September 8th, makes that, quote, impossible. Jury questionnaires will be administered ahead of time, with in-person jury selection set to start on January 5th.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers, America's listening to Fox News.
Looking for a great indoor activity to get moving? Try Uncle Ed's Outfitters Indoor Archery for everyone 7 and over when accompanied by an adult. The new archery range is open 24 hours a day with unlimited access and coded entry for members. Uncle Ed's Outfitters would be happy to rent archery equipment or give you or the family a lesson from a USA Archery certified instructor. Book an hour or a day of indoor archery at Uncle Ed's Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 6 in the Oak Shopping Center in Atascadero near Guest House Grill.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi, and I'm welcoming from Sacramento Meg Madden of Cause with an update on what's happening in Sacramento. Welcome, Meg.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for coming. All right, we have a lot to cover in the next little segment. So let's get started. So I'll just say this as kind of an upfront overall observation. We're seeing it in New York City. We're definitely seeing this in our day-to-day here in California. Yes, Trump won. Yes, everyone said woke is dead. But in certain corners and certain bubbles, woke is not dead. And one of those bubbles, unfortunately, is the California Capitol. So, Meg, you are there pretty frequently. You testify with bills. What's kind of the general theme of what I call the gender woo-woo movement? Is it anywhere close to being on life support in Sacramento, or is it alive and healthy?
No. If anything, the Trump administration's excellent actions to protect reality and women and girls and children from gender ideology, medicalization, and indoctrination have put a motor under the legislature in California. They are now using their anti-Trump rhetoric, which is all over the Capitol and regularly brought up in committee hearings, to push even more radical bills. And one of the things they are doing is very openly passing multiple bills to make California a quote-unquote trans sanctuary state. This is an open agenda, although they don't put that word into the bills, of course. But they hide the what the bills are doing under a lot of other language. But one of the things they are doing is a series of shield laws. These began, they were definitely going on last session. They may have been some even the session before, but definitely last session and this session, there's a ton. But basically, as we know, some states are changing how they approach gender-affirming care, at least for children. And they are putting all kinds of brakes on and trying to basically make it less legal or illegal for minors to be given puberty blockers, opposite-sex hormones, and surgeries in the insane attempt to try to make them look more like the opposite sex when they are adults. And so... Other states are doing that, just as other states have different abortion laws than California does. So what they are doing at the legislature is they are taking a history of having some protections for abortion providers in California and extending all of that to gender-affirming care, what we call sex rejection procedures.
I like that term better.
Sorry?
I like that term better. Let's just use that.
So sex rejecting is obviously more accurate because that's what they're actually doing. Humans have a sex. They do not have a gender identity. There's no proof or anything to support that idea. So that's what they're doing. And there's just multiple ways to do that. They are, at this point, right now they're trying to, they have two bills. One's AB 2164, which will block extradition. By taking extradition out of the governor's hands. What's extradition? Well, if somebody commits a crime in another state and comes to California, now they cannot be extradited if it was related to gender-affirming care without a lot more hoops to be jumped through than would be typical. And then there's its partner bill is AB 1854, which will block discovery and investigation of these sorts of crimes.
Would this affect, we have more and more detransitioners like Chloe, I'm forgetting her last name, but
yeah, Chloe Cole.
There's so many cases, just rapid fire, and one girl recently won. But as these young people whose bodies have been destroyed, and they're suing and they're, courts are starting to win. Would this affect their cases?
Well, sure. I mean, anything that would hide records would slow down the process. The biggest problem for detransitioners actually is existing law with limitation on, I forget what the word is. But
statute of limitations.
Statute of limitation on when you can bring a lawsuit against a healthcare provider who has harmed you. That's the biggest problem. But there are certainly anything that slows down the process or even suggesting to people that these are doctors and these are procedures that are so important and special that they need special protections and special laws. The opposite of true. They is true. They have the least amount of evidence behind them. The diagnosis itself that brings about these treatments doesn't make any sense and is irrational. These bills are also partnered with bills that are going to make it a discriminatory act to not provide these kinds of treatments to somebody who requests them. And those have no age limits. So they are really going full court press to protect providers of gender-affirming care, of sex ejection procedures. Now, they say they're protecting the individuals who are getting the procedures, but that's not who is being protected. Those people are being harmed, and if they now try to seek redress for their harms, they're going to have a harder time doing it. Parents are going to have a harder time protecting their children, who can literally be brought to California by pretty much anyone and go through certain legal processes to get these procedures done. If they are being made wards of the state, then the state will approve their procedures, and that has happened. That has happened to minors in California, to California parents. So now it can happen to parents outside of the state as well.
So when I first
given these procedures,
right? So when I first started reporting on this years ago, now it seems like yesterday, but we're in 2026 already. Let's say it was 2022 when I moved over to the Washington Free Beacon, was really able to focus on this. So many people were questioning, obviously anyone with common sense and just some basic savvy knew this, these are terrible things. I mean, blocking puberty, what could go wrong? You know, anyone would know. But all the expert analysis, there was none, really. There were a bunch of shills saying that all this was safe and great. But there was not yet the body of evidence that we have now that proved this was all nonsense and very dangerous nonsense at that. So at this point, and I remember when I was a reporter, I sent the CAS report to Rob Bonta's office. I sent the CAS report to a couple of the legislators' offices and asked them to comment on it. They wouldn't. They just said, we're defending, if they gave me a statement at all, I think Bonta's office gave me a statement saying we are defending transgender people or whatever, protecting them from extremism or whatever their little line was. But at this point, you all, when you come to the hearings, you bring so much evidence. I've heard the testimony that the detransitioners bring. What do the lawmakers do when you're speaking? Do they just look at their phones and really not listen? What's their excuse for not even hearing?
It's a variety. They look at their phones. They talk to their staffers. They talk to each other. Sometimes they listen. There's video that went a little viral of a young detransitioner named Johnny, very brave young man, who came and gave testimony against a Wiener bill, Scott Wiener bill, I think it was SB 934. And, Wiener looked distinctly uncomfortable. But then nobody asked him a question. They are allowed to ask witnesses questions after they give the testimony. Nobody did. They ignore it. The best I could say is they ignore it and pretend that we are saying something that we aren't. They pretend that we are saying all trans people are evil, horrible people and should be erased from existence. And they literally call us and fascists, like, say those words. And because we're trying to erase people. Of course, that's not what we're doing at all. We are against the ideology that we believe is causing extreme harm to people, and we have a lot of evidence that it is causing harm. But they don't engage with us at that level. They claim we will bring multiple people who say, I'm a lesbian, I'm a lifelong Democrat, I'm a lifelong liberal and progressive. and to oppose the bills, and they will still call us all right-wing fanatics, despite that we had a bunch of witnesses that just said they weren't right-wing.
So it sounds like nothing has changed.
But no, I would say it's almost gotten worse because they have this boogeyman of Trump, the evil Trump, and the evil Trumpers, the MAGA, to push against. Not that I'm happy that we had MAGA, and I'm happy that Trump is our president. But this is how they take what we think what is a good thing and turn it into something bad for their most radical constituents and for people who just aren't paying attention.
Right, right. And it's interesting. I actually looked up some of the districts of some of what I would say are most lethal legislators. And many of them are in these little urban districts where you know that nobody really turns out for elections and that the votes are all harvested. Because I was starting to wonder who creates these really insane policies? Where do they come from? Do they never have to answer their voters? Yeah. And obviously, there's Scott Wiener in California, in San Francisco.
He's the most famous, and you know, people call him a moderate. People in his district are under the completely incorrect belief that he is a moderate.
Yes, because tech money funds him. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane. So let's unravel a little bit. So we got some really good news from the Trump administration. What was it earlier this month that the Federal Trade Commission was suing WPATH, which we've talked about on the show. It's the World Transgender Congress, something like that. World Professional
Association
of Transgender Health, I think. Health. Yes.
How they brand themselves.
Yes, yeah, but very evil organization. They have really, really pushed this on kids and bullied various other medical groups to adopt their insane positions. They have also, there's been some excellent reporting from Redux on just how extreme and really perverted a lot of their members are. Anyway, so FTC is suing them over their push to pressure the medical industry to mutilate kids in the name of gender confusion. So would any of these laws protect, in the end, I guess my basic question is, can the state really protect these guys from federal investigations?
AB 1930, which is a bill from DeBoer, specifically obstructs federal fraud investigations of healthcare providers. So it can't stop. California can't save WPATH if WPATH is going down, and that would be excellent if it did. But they could still be protecting providers here in California and anyone who comes to California to provide these procedures and medications to people who are just desperately seeking a better life and are being hurt.
And is there precedence to keep these laws on the books so that they pass and Newsom signs them? Or is this just going to be a question of the courts? Or has it already been decided that states can do this, can protect a certain class of people?
The answer to that question.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't really know. I know that they are trying to block fraud investigation. So, and that's what the feds are going by. That WPATH has been fraudulent in their recommendations, which they have.
Yes, absolutely. Before we pause for the break, I do want to make a note. We don't have to go through all of the bills doing this, but for the past several years, California has been systematically going through every code, whether it's education or it's medical or legal, and basically replacing biological sex with gender identity, which obviously it's not a thing, but it's becoming a thing in law. So I understand that this is continuing this year.
Yes. There's AB 2563. It will include gender identity in sex discrimination law. It redefines sex to include gender identity. Once you've done that, then sex discrimination.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm hearing our music teasing the ads now. So we will dive back in with Meg Madden when we return. Please stay tuned. We have lots of stuff. I mean, there are bills coming down the pike to really restrain our speech further when it comes to transgender issues. So this really is affecting all of us. It will continue to do so for years if these bills pass. So stay tuned, and Meg will talk about how you can all get involved. This is Free Talk California. We'll be right back.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Elizabeth McDonald, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages kicking off the holiday shortened trading week in rally mode on Iran de-escalation hopes. The Dow notching its 18th record close of the year and finishing above the 52,000 level for the first time ever. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 snapped their five-session losing streak. Tech and consumer discretionary were the best performing sector. Mining stocks fell along with the price of gold and silver. Gold has extended its losses as Middle East tensions keep inflation concerns in focus. Oil prices reacting cautiously to the resumption of peace talks between the U.S. and Iran, with West Texas Intermediate crude over $70 a barrel. The Dow winners, Caterpillar, Alphabet, and Amazon. The Dow decliners, Honeywell, United Health, and Microsoft. The Dow up 307 points, the NASDAQ higher by 523, S&P 500 up 86. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Progressive presents Heroes That Keep Truckers Going. Today's hero, the true crime podcaster you listen to during a long haul. Yes, you may never look at a pair of pliers the same way again, or your spouse using pliers. But boy, you were entertained. Thanks, hero. Another thing that can keep truckers going, Progressive Truck Insurance with primary liability limits up to $2 million. Get a quote at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. $2 million limit is not available in all states.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Do you use propane? At Delta Liquid Energy, you can pre-buy your winter propane gallons to lock in your price. Fuel prices fluctuate, so with Delta Liquid Energy, you can take advantage of potential pre-buy savings. To learn more, contact Delta Liquid Energy before June 30th. Family-owned and operated, call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
Work hard, work safe, wear the best. Red Wing shoes, built for comfort, built for durability, built to handle the toughest jobs. And on the Central Coast, there's only one place to get them. Tack and Shoes, your exclusive Red Wing dealer with the best selection, expert fitting, and boots that won't let you down. Got a Red Wing voucher? Bring it in. They accept them all. Tack and Shoes on the corner of 8th and Spring in Paso Robles or on Marsh Street across from Wells Fargo in San Luis Obispo. Work starts here.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Suzanne Luthi, and I'm joined from Sacramento by Meg Madden talking about some of the wild bills our legislature is coming up with and sending, poised to send to the governor's desk. So we discussed some of the protections being debated and likely will pass for the doctors performing what I call gender mutilation surgeries and prescribing puberty blockers to kids and generally interfering with healthy biologies in a very heinous way. But now we get to a topic that really concerns me because it's just everywhere. It's so Orwellian. And it actually drove me out of my doctor's office and to a midwife when I delivered my baby. So I guess I owe it something. But it's basically language policing bills shrouding, shrouding any debate over sex confusion, transgender identities in the language of hate speech. So, Meg, walk us through what we have to expect. This has been something that they've been working on for years. There was, I think, 2 years ago, they're making midwives, anyone who touches the subject of pregnancy, pregnant women, even cleaners of OB-GYN offices, have to get this training that men can get pregnant. Just insane. So what's on the docket this year?
So everybody's familiar with sexual harassment training. So that's been around for a long time. Many employers, depending on how many employees they have to provide sexual harassment training. What the legislature is doing now is with two bills, they are adding hate speech training to everybody who already has to have sexual harassment training, basically. One bill is AB 1578 from Assemblymember Jackson. That one will insist on hate speech training for elected officials, which I find very, very Orwellian. And AB 1803 basically makes the same bill for hate speech training for everybody else. Every employee, so every business, private or public, will have to... every organization over a certain amount of employees will have to provide this hate speech training, insist that their employees get this hate speech training. Well, what is hate speech? Hate speech is not defined or definable. We don't have that in America because we have freedom of speech. There's no such thing as hate speech in American jurisprudence. And so that is why this is obviously an attempt to police speech. And that is why my organization, you would think, why do you care about this? Well, everybody should care about free speech. But the reason we care about it is because we know that we have been called haters, and as I said before, Nazis and this and that and the other, fascists, for saying that men can't turn into women, for saying that children should not have their puberty halted, that causes a problem, that young girls as young as 13, like my friend Layla Jean, shouldn't have had their breast cut off to make them look like a boy. Those things are considered hate speech, to say those things by our legislature. They openly say that we are haters for saying that. And if you don't mind, I can go on and explain exactly how this impacted me personally and my group.
Yes.
So I was testifying against the bill with Beth Bourne, who you probably have heard of. And that bill was going to impose coaches, CIF was going to make coaches get mental health training. So we went in and said CIF should not be giving mental health training to anyone because they put boys in girls' sports and that is bad for girls' mental health. It's also bad for the boys' mental health. I forget exactly what all we said, but that was our primary focus, was protecting the girls. And we were called haters, spewing hate. We were accused of hating kids by assembly members of Boer, who is one of the real bad assembly legislators. Right there in the hearing, they said it right to our faces. The very next day, I was testifying against the hate speech bill, 1803. And I brought up what had happened to me in the hearing the day before. And Liz Ortega, the chairwoman for that committee, interrupted me, told me I was going off topic, and insisted that I get back on topic with my testimony. Now, you only get 2 minutes of testimony, so her interruption made me lose about 15 seconds, which is a big deal when you only have 2 minutes. So I ended up getting cut off, too, because they only gave me the 2 minutes. And I if I'd been thinking faster, I would have asked to reclaim my time. But I did at least continue. I said, it is on topic. I'm going to keep going. And I did. This is what I mean by they ignore or they deliberately misunderstand like what we are saying. I was making the case that if you, the legislators, can accuse me of spewing hate for saying simple facts that boys can't turn into girls and play in girl sports, you could say anything is hate. And you could teach that. And you could make every legislator and elected official, school board member, have to say that or learn that, that that is hate speech. That's very dangerous.
Yes. Wow. Yes, that does bring it back to home when you realize that you're the ones that they're talking about as the purveyors of so-called hate speech. Yes. And that's and one of the that's
what
one
they are talking about. What they say in the hearings is not anything about us, but they will talk about things that frankly would never, if they happened in a workplace, it would either amount to harassment, or it would be, you know, which would be different, or it's something else. It's a totally pointless bill. Just both of them are pointless bills. They're not going to help anyone be safer or feel safer, but that is their claim.
Yes. Well, and it's a reminder that we're very fortunate that the Constitution does protect speech, including so-called hate speech, because it is in the eye of the beholder. And yes. And we're seeing with the speech arrests in the UK what can happen once that slippery slope is it has started. Well, we only have a couple of minutes left, but I do want to give you the opportunity to tell our listeners how they can get involved in pushing back against insanity. I think the biggest win, the biggest victory of the crazies in this state has been to make everyone feel like there's nothing we can do and we just have to pretend and live our lives as if this isn't happening. So, Meg, you're one of the brave ones who's in the trenches. So how can people help?
Okay, well, number one, I'm going to give my email address. Anyone can email me if they want more information or to get put on action lists or that sort of thing. And it's cause@yahoo.com. cause@yahoo.com. Now, anyone, I'm just a normal, regular person. I wasn't involved in politics at all, 3 years ago. I got involved in this because this issue was important to me. Anyone can go to the Capitol and testify. Anyone. Anyone can call their legislator, your own legislator, your senator, your assembly person. Call them and tell them, I don't like these bills. Vote no. It eventually goes to the full Senate and the full House, full assembly. So you're going to be talking to the right person if you are talking to your own legislator. All these bills are sailing through committee, okay? Talk to your own legislator. It doesn't matter if they're a Democrat and you're a Republican. They are your legislator. Call them.
Yes, and I will note that both our legislators are John Laird, State Senate, he's termed out, and Don Addis. Both of them are really into this. John Laird was backed by Equality California. Don Addis wears trans earrings at some of these hearings and cries. So, yes, they need to hear from us. They're supposedly representing us.
Because they claim they never hear from their constituents.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know if they're telling the truth or not. You can email if you don't want to call, but staffers tend to be kind. Don't be rude. You don't be rude. Call the staffer, explain that you're a constituent, and say, I'm against this bill, that bill, the other bill. I want my assembly member to vote no on those. I want my senator to vote no on those. That's it. That's the whole conversation that you have to have.
Yes.
You don't have to go down and give testimony at the Capitol in Sacramento, although if you want to, let us know. We'd love to have you. But just engaging. And, of course, 100% vote, 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 and make everyone else you know vote. Stop this thing about Republicans can't ever win anything. We need to vote. We need to show up. The numbers matter even if you don't win.
Absolutely.
In a district like perhaps your guys are, I don't know, that are very unlikely that a Republican is going to win, it still matters. You need to make them a little scared. They're not scared. They're drunk on power, these Democrats in California.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Meg. That really appreciate it. That's all the time we have for today. Again, if you want to get on her email list, go to cause@yahoo.com. That's Meg Madden with Cause. All right. Well, thanks to all of you for tuning in. We will see you next week. You are listening to Free Talk California, and I'm Susanna Luthi. Take care, everyone.
Free Talk.
Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.